You're tuned in to the Vintage House Show, home to the original stories of the history of house music as told by the legends, pioneers, and icons. Hosted by Kevin Mega McFall, Lori Branch, and Lauren Lowry.
This is DJ Rocky Floyd, host of the Wednesday night Vintage House Radio Show. And tonight I have, I'm going to say one of the anchors of the house radio, Chicago house music scene. Tonight I get the opportunity to talk to Rocky Jones. If you're in Chicago and don't know who Rocky Jones is, you really have a problem. The term DJ International, any DJ that played any song from DJ International should know this guy. So if you don't, I'm sorry. It's about time you learn the truth. So welcome, sir. How are you tonight?
Well, Rocky, is so glad to be here with you and glad to see you again. And I'm doing well.
That's good to hear. Okay, so we what I want to do is I want people to know about DJ International, and I want to know what brought you to this scene that made you want to do it.
Well, I was a DJ back in the day, okay. A long time before a lot of the scene was going down. And just as a DJ, you know, I loved music. And so that, you know, led to supplying records to DJs and also setting up record pools and finding artists that wanted to get records made and brought them to major record labels and tried to work from there. When that didn't happen, I just set up DJ International. When the majors didn't want to have anything at all to do with Chicago music, you know, I said, well, we'll do it ourselves.
Okay.
That's how that's true.
Okay. So where was DJ International located at, in case people don't know?
Okay. On Randolph Street. Okay. It was the base. We were also in Chicago, but we moved from Chicago Street to Randolph, and where everything already happened at. That was Chicago and Randolph and Halsted. And, you know, that's the building's torn down now. They're putting up a high riser now, I think.
Okay. Okay. Give me a who's who of who has been blessed to be on DJ International Music.
Okay. That's a great, I love doing it because I remember everybody. You know, I don't think I forgot anybody, but you know, the big names to me, they're all big and important, but the Hot Mix 5 guys were the people that they weren't the first with DJ International and Auto Talent, which is where we really came from, but they were the biggest, most important DJs on the planet. From there came James Silk, Keith Nunley, Chippy, Joe Smooth, The Fingers, Daryl Pandy, Marshall Jefferson, Jimmy Principal. Those were, I'm trying to think who else. I mean, just those are some of them anyway.
Okay. So basically the whole core of house music really came through there. That's history right there that you named, just with musically alone is huge. Huge. Yeah.
Let me share this with you and your son. Your son's still there?
Yeah, he's in the other room right now. He's watching the basketball.
All right. Well, I get you. So here's the deal is that when DJ got started, there was no house music, and there was no, and when I say there was no house music, there were a few clubs around that played disco music or played, you know, a lot of gay clubs that were around at the time. But it wasn't really, it wasn't quantified or wasn't coalesced yet. Okay. And when we started with the JM Silk, Music is the Key, things were bubbling under. A lot of stuff was happening, but nothing was really happening in Chicago. And, you know, then we went off to the races from there.
Okay, so you've also, so tell me, I guess, so DJ International was a brand like Sony and everything else. So explain to me how the producing and the music side comes from it and how you get to the market side of it and everything. So tell me how that works for you. Well,
that was Rocky, that was really the strong point of DJ International. When our records came out, the day they came out, they became the number one records in all the independent stores such as, Baby O's I'm trying to think of the name of the other one, that was big. Anyway, they were all independent stores that were not really, the center stage of music. And so, but when we came out, it took everyone by surprise because we outsold every big record out there. And that weekend we came out, Prince was there, Madonna was there, and we outsold them. And that was, no one even dreamed of that. And that was, you know, imports, et cetera, was one of them. And record stores were big at. And so that everyone got fired up on it. But when one overseas with the record that we did with EMI, it became a very, very recognized that, yeah, artists from Chicago are, could end up becoming a international success.
Okay.
But, you know, we didn't really know what that success was. But I knew house music was going to be the biggest thing. I didn't realize how big that really was going to be, but I knew it was going to be the biggest music. And so we took James Silk and Chippy and James Silk, Jimmy Principal, I think were some of the first artists that we were in the studio with, you know.
Okay.
And so that's how that worked. But I think the success of DJ was the fact that we had our own sound. We had every instrument we had that we thought we could use became the very recognizable sound. That's what they called it over in Europe, the house sound of Chicago. You know, that was where it was with the keyboards we were using at the time and the drum machine specifically. You know, 909 was really the blueprint of it all. 8082, those were the key drum machines. So if you were an artist, you'd walk in a DJ and we had all the music there. We had everything going on and, we'd help produce their records or even produce them for them, you know. So that's how that worked.
Okay. What do you, if I can... okay, so give me your opinion. I really want to know what your opinion of, you know, with the vast variety of music, of house music, because house music is the umbrella to a lot of music. What would you say is one of the, I guess, with Chicago house music being the way it was when it first came out. So obviously we have progressed in so many different ways, especially here in Chicago, you know, with the ghetto house and everything else that has come from it. EDM, of course, EDM is another baby as well. What would you say from the core to where we are now was probably one of the best times of house music?
Well, the best time was the beginning of house music, I think. You know, I remember over there across the street from the warehouse, we would play on Randolph Street at 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. We'd play softball because there was no cars on that street. And right. We'd be done playing softball and we'd go back in the studio and continue the records and to do it. And it was just a great time. You know, that's what I really recognize about it. But, the warehouse figured in that a lot, you know, that was part of it.
In case people didn't know, the warehouse on Randolph belonged to this man here as well. So just everybody know that, if you went to 738 West Randolph, that was his place. So, you bought now. That was one of the best places I've ever partied at. So your touch with DJs over the years, especially from production to the warehouse to today, has stayed very. Even I mean, you've had a very good tight knit of DJs that you know that have stayed with you through. How influential you think the warehouse was to the DJs that you are still close knit with?
Right. I think that first of all, you have to recognize who the MX Five are. You know, they are not the only DJs, but they were definitely the most influential DJs in any capacity, and a great bunch of people, you know, and the radio station, you know, Lee Michaels from BMX and all that. These are very important people, and you know, I've always thought that this was the music about DJs. DJs were the conductor for the symphony of music, and that's really what a DJ was. It was not a spectator sport, you know, where people stand around and watch them and bop and all that. That's really not what it was about. I think it was really about listening to the music and dancing. And that's where it, you know, came from. And that's what most of the DJs told about. Now they like to, you know, do the EDM where a lot of people are standing around watching the DJ. And they call that EDM, which is no more than the same thing they did with, you know, Chuck Berry and those early guys. They took their music and turned into white music. Not now. Having said that, it's very important that people realize that the music itself was not a racial music. In other words, it was not black. It wasn't white. It wasn't Hispanic. It was, for all people. It was the first music to really cross all the barriers of racial and ethnic and barriers and all that. But that's why it changed modern music. And that way, there was not a music like that that did make all those different, you know, groups and pulled them together. Yeah. That's...
Mm-hmm. All right, so I actually got a... Actually, somebody posted a question on here, so I'm going to ask you. So they say, so where is Rocky Jones from? Were you born in Chicago, and what high school or did you attend if you were here, or where are you from originally?
Right. And don't criticize me for this. Rocky is actually from New York. Young age, I was in Chicago. Chicago is my home, and I love Chicago more than anything. You know, so I get it. But yeah. But I was on the north side up there around Old Town. That's where my first schools were at.
Okay. Yeah, I knew you as soon as you said, don't hold it against you. As soon as you say that. You automatically know if you're from Chicago. It's the first thing you go, don't say, don't hold it against me. Yeah. It's
Yeah. But you know, listen, house music could only have happened in Chicago. I hate to say it, but New York was too full of itself because they had too much going on there. They had the entire music industry there. London had all the music industry there. Chicago didn't have anything. You know, LA had a music industry commercial, but Chicago had nothing. So that's why Chicago had to just say, "Hey, we're doing this. This is about DJs and dancers. This is not about, you know, Michael Jackson or Herman." No criticism against them, but this was, no one was trying to be a superstar. We're just trying to make music for the club.
Right, right. Okay, so so prior to the warehouse on Randolph, did you have another club before that?
Yeah, I did. Not physically, but two clubs I was at. Actually, three clubs I was always been at. And that's long before the warehouse and all that. But it was a club called The Machine. Not many people know about The Machine. I think Jesse Jones said he was went to it one time. That was up on the North Street too. That was a juice bar. And the thing people need to know about that one is it was basically open till 10 o'clock in the morning. It had every different kind of club person in the world there. Ethnically, sexually, everyone. And that's what was so cool about it. Same thing with the first club I worked at called PQ's. It was not defined by racial or sexual barriers, and but the music was always the most important thing.
Okay, what was the music scene like when you were young? So tell me about that, and what did you listen to, or were you a big disco fan, or what did you listen to?
Disco. That's a tricky word. They broke all those disco records, and I couldn't understand why, because their disco was crazy at the time with that Saturday Night Fever and all that. But I think there was stuff like Brenda and the Tabulations. There was the Temptations. There was James Brown. There's really great stuff back then, and they were the ones that had the beat, that's really where house music came from. It's from that beat. We just took it and made it the real beat, and less oriented towards radio. It was never meant to be a radio sound.
Okay. All right. So basically, really, you come from, James Brown is, and I listen and I hear what you say. To me, is always funk, because that's most of his music to me is funk. But you lived it, so I got to go with what you say, so it's fine.
Rocky, here's what happened. Even though you can identify James Brown one thing, but if you play James Brown doing it to death Papa Don't Take No Messin', and then you played the Jackson 5 record at the same time as the next record, couple of records in a set, people would go crazy because they never heard that before. They never heard the coalescing of music that had the beat that they could dance to. So you might hear James Brown in a James Brown set in some taverns or something like that. You wouldn't hear it in the white clubs for sure. That was real segregation on that point. But when you heard it at The Machine and these other places at the time, it was just it was heaven. It was broke all the rules.
Okay. Now, where was The Machine at exactly, and how long was it open?
Machine was open for around 1980 or 74, 73. And it was on Sheridan Road and Montrose. There's a Jewel food store there now.
Right. All right. How long was it open?
It was only open a couple of years. You know, it was a crazy place. Everything you ever heard about crazy places in the good sense, this was it. I mean, you could take the definition of, you know, at 4 o'clock in the morning, the place would be lined with cars, limousines, pimps, prostitutes, Russian people. Everyone would come there because it's where the music was at that moment.
You know? Okay. That's good to hear. Let's progress a little bit. So, when did the warehouse first open on Randolph?
It was right around I think it was 92, 91, I forgot. But there's the warehouse reunion, which DJ Emmanuel is throwing in the park. We'll be down there for that. He does that this party in the park. And that's what's his name? In honor of DJ Cowboy. Did you know him?
Yes, DJ absolutely. Cowboy? Absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah. So to be a good moment.
The Cowboy great guy. He's a real great guy. I really liked him. We chatted from time to time. I've known most of the DJs that you had at the warehouse. I mean, me and Emmanuel go back to the warehouse. So most of my conversations with him, K. Alexi, Joe Smooth, I mean, all these guys. Yeah, I mean, it's when you start DJing, it brings a lot of people into you, and then and it's always a close knit family because we're all very prideful of what we do. So and it keeps us close knit together. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree, man.
I know that DJ International is still producing music and making music and releasing music. Before we get into what that's going on, so tell me how do you feel about the house music scene today?
Well, I feel that a lot of people have dropped the football from the radio standpoint, from the label standpoint, and for a lot of reasons. But part of it is that Chicago does not have any kind of scene, really, like you see in Atlanta or in New York. You know, everyone talks about house music and all that, but it's never really came together as much as it should. And hopefully, that's a process of evolution, but it takes a long time if that's the case.
I want to pick your brain. So I mean, I'm because you know it's rare to find someone who is from the origins. And when I mean the origins, a lot of stuff has come through your hands and has been touched by your hands in the house music community. Now, in Chicago, we split things always down the middle. So, if you like baseball, you either like the Cubs or the Sox
Chicago is like that. Right.
So with the house music scene, most of us have always designated ourselves to be either a Frankie fan or a Ron Hardy fan.
Okay. That's for I can understand that,
The origins of house music are always logistically tied to them too, because they were the club dudes more than they were the radio personalities. So I mean, Hot Mix 5, and to give them total credit, they put house music to the public scene, because they were given right. an opportunity to be on a mainstream radio station and do it.
It goes in a lot of details with them, but remember this: is that when you listen to the mixes, and you know, when Kenny Jason or even Farley or even Julian Purse, when you listen to the mixes, what you'd listen to is you'd listen to 32 beats of a break, and then they would extend that to 64 beats, and then they throw an acapella over that or another drum track on that to mix out of it. That was the foundation of house music, because it was not about the commercial or anything. It's about what the dancers wanted, and that's part of why I think it resonates with that. But when it comes to Frankie and Ron, you know, Frankie was definitely a classic you know, artist, you know, more disco oriented. And I think Ron was a little bit more experimental and free form. And I don't want to say anything bad, but then a lot of people that went to the music box and all that, I think were definitely intoxicated, you know?
Yeah.
Right. But the music was great there. You never had heard music like you heard at the music box, because it was off the chain.
Yeah, I think Ron was more of he introduced a lot of music because of the location and the availability of music that was brought to him. I mean, Frankie mm-hmm. Frankie was a producer, so I mean, you know, most of his music, again, because of his origins coming from New York as well. It was disco oriented, but I mean, when he was able to get here and start to lay stuff on top of the disco tracks and, you know, create an alternative to disco, you know, he did his thing. I what I liked more about Ron was the fact that, you know, again, and I've seen it personally, Ron, somebody would give Ron a record and he'd play it 5 or 6 times that night so that people can get accustomed to it and know it. So yeah, absolutely. So
definitely.
Yeah, and definitely. What's so funny was I actually was there the night that Ron was supposed to come on his last performance before he passed away and did not come to the warehouse.
Right.
I was thoroughly upset because I knew he was sick, but you know, he just didn't know it had gotten to that point yet.
His roommate told me that he was broken hearted that he wasn't able to, you know, play the warehouse on a regular basis. And I was surprised to hear that, because, you know, if I had known that, I would have definitely had been there.
You know? I knew he loved coming there, because it was the vibe of the place was absolutely tremendous. And I mean, and again, because you offered music on 3 different levels, you know, and on each level, each DJ that you had play those levels was perfect for those levels. I mean, you know, if you're in the basement, you know, that was sweat. Let's go. We just going to tear up and sweat. And, you know, the main floor, I mean, and no disrespect to any DJ that's played there.
Right.
But the main floor, you actually had, I believe you had more technical DJs, and I mean people that actually were blenders, perfect blenders, or worked on perfecting their blenders. You know, the basement was just okay. Let's just get sweaty, and then upstairs the upstairs with the pool tables was just casual. I mean, you know, whoever played up there, it was a great opportunity. It was casual, you know, and like I said, because they all of them offered something different, so. Each DJ you had come through there and play those levels complemented the floor that they played on. Absolutely.
Right. Right. And the thing about that is we had, I don't know of any DJs that did not spin there on a regular basis. The Hot Mix 5 guys, Paul Johnson used to come in all the time, you know, and spin. Everyone had their, you know, were able to come in who were really accomplished as far as the DJ goes. And, you know, and as limited time as there was, we tried to make the best of it with this, as many different sounds as possible. You know, like you're saying, at the loft there, and at the basement and the main floor.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. So, what artists do you have working with you now?
I think one of our biggest projects, not biggest, there's no such thing as that, but I think very, very impressed with a fellow named Bobby Wilson. And his father was Jackie Wilson, and the fellow who did Your Love Has Taken Me Higher, and considered to be a rock and roll Hall of Famer kind of a singer. You know, he was definitely R&B, but everyone loved him. Everybody loved him. And his son is taking his foot, in the right direction with some house music now. So then, and the Frankie Knuckles album, we're finishing that up. We're doing an album with Frankie. As a matter of fact, his first record was on DJ. We were doing this album, and when he left to New York, we actually stopped, and the track sat there for all these times. But we just, you know, finished up one track recently after he passed away, and got out some of the old tapes that were never, you know, finished, and we're putting touches on those and releasing those now.
Okay.
So the new Frankie Knuckles. New Anthony Thomas, the voice of with Joe Smooth on The Promised Land, we're doing that one, and he's got some great stuff coming out. Chuck Roberts, you know, in the beginning there was Jack. He's got his own voice, you know, and so we're off with some really good stuff, I think.
Okay, let me get your take on. I'm going to go back again just a little bit. So because of you had DJ International, then there were other, you know, like there was Trax Records and every other record label that was out at the time. As a label owner how did you think that all these companies that just, especially, I mean, it took off in the mid 80s, you know, Trax Record and all these other places that came out, and, you know, there's the Loft Records and stuff like that, garage music and stuff like that. So tell me, how would you view that time in regards to, you know, these labels popping out of nowhere?
I'm sort of, to say it, and I say I'm impressed with that. House music was embraced so much, a lot of you know, people are trying to copy things, and right. That's, you know, I guess,
absolutely.
You know, but absolutely. You know, when we did it, one of the things that broke all the rules was we put records out every week. Back in that time, everyone was, hopefully record companies were doing one record every 4 months, you know, that was a big campaign for them. And that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to supply the DJs. And that's why you got Strictly with Rhythm out of New York and all that, you know, using that model for what they did. And they did a hell of a job too, you know, but Trax, I think they were definitely, a copycat label, you know. They weren't trying to copy, even though they were just trying to, you know, make money. I think that's all they cared about.
Okay.
You know,
all right. Understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would think if anybody would know, it would be you. So that's why I asked you. So I don't know anybody that doesn't have a Trax record or doesn't have a DJ International record or Imperial Records, or whatever. We all tied into all that stuff back then, because again, if you know, if we didn't get into them record pools, we didn't get it. We had to find other ways to get it. So yeah, I understand completely.
Yeah, it was hard. It was hard.
So I how do you because I know your opinion on house music is that it's probably the greatest music made. Or I'm going to assume that, but I'm going to ask you anyway. So would you be safe to, would it be safe to say that you are, your number one style of music is house music?
Yeah, we changed modern music. The whole house scene changed modern music, you know, and DJ was at the forefront at the time. And I mean, we're still doing music, but yeah, there's a reason why. And the element of house music is essentially the beat track to what people want to hear. You know, they want to hear the foot, the drums. They want to hear the bass line. They never really heard that put in one place together. You know, they may hear a great funky drum track somewhere, but again, that was syncopated drums. So when they went to a 4/4 drum with house music, and it wasn't hidden, it was out in front. So it was a bass line. You know, that's what it was really all about. So that's why it's maintained its presence and changed modern music, because every modern music I've heard is taken from, you know, derivative of some of the house sounds. Even, what's his name? Mike Dunn. When Mike Dunn used to be at the warehouse and the prop house and all that, he got signed with P. Diddy one time because he wanted to do rap music. And he said, oh, even the rappers are doing all house music samples and all that. So it influenced even the rap things, you know, which is great, because I think rap music and rap music DJs are basically a brother and sister of house music, you know? That's what that is.
Okay. So tell me, what's the difference between DJ International and Underground?
Well, because we were putting out so many records, Underground was a little bit more aimed at the raw sound, but not necessarily always. It was really more, and if you couldn't put out five records on one label, so you had to have, you know, you could do two records on one label in a week or whatever, and that would work. And Underground was definitely the sound, so that's where he did, you know, Jack Your Body and you know, some of the other Underground sounds.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage House Show podcast. Please subscribe and share, and check us out live, WNUR 89.3 FM, Wednesdays at 10 o'clock.